Hey, thanks for checking out this message from LifeGate Church. We hope that God uses this message to encourage you and to help you live in the freedom and purpose that Jesus has for your life.
I want to welcome those online. Thanks for joining us today. It's a privilege having you here. Really great. Let's grab our seats. Come back together. Wonderful. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, for this moment in time. We thank you for the opportunity to gather in the name of Jesus. And as we come to your word, we pray you'll speak to us today, bring transformation to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, on Monday this week, I had the privilege of speaking to a bunch of business leaders. I was invited to speak at a company, and there are 20 of their leaders there. And the person who runs the company asked me to encourage their staff and the key team to serve the people in their company, but also serve their clients. And I was like, wow, that's a really cool opportunity and a huge privilege. So I went excited to do that and had a real privilege doing that. But in preparation for this, I was thinking, what should I say to them? And I went, well, we've been talking about taking what we've got and investing in others in our series around Multiply this year. So that's what I'll do. So I shared lots of stories how I, over the years, have taken what God has given me and been deliberate in investing in others. And I gave them some principles about doing that. I said to them, really important that you're deliberate, really important that you believe that they can. It's important that you speak life. And I gave them some other principles and asked them questions. But in any talk, it's really important that you give the why. Why is this important? And this is where it got a bit tricky for me, because I wasn't asked to come as the evangelist, or I wasn't asked to come to preach the message of Jesus. I was asked to come and share my experience about investing in others. And so I went, how am I going to go about the why here? Because I know what I wanted to say, but it's not really the place to say that, so what should I say? And where I landed was around fulfillment in life. And I said to the 20 leaders there, I said, you know, we're all looking for fulfillment in life, and we can find it through relationships, we can find it through succeeding, we can find it through winning. But another great way to get fulfillment is when you take what God has given you and you invest it in others and you see them thrive. That brings you lots of joy. And is that true? It is true. It is really true. And that's what I experienced. But what I wanted to say was, the reason I love, the reason I serve, the reason I give, the reason I invest is because God first loved me. God first served me. God first invested in me. And now I want to offer that to others. This is what it says in 1 John 4:19. It says, we love because he, who's he in this verse? God first loved us. What God has done is like our motivator. What God has done is like the springboard that launches us to love others. You know, this week we're hitting Easter, and it's a really great time. If you notice our YouVersion plan, this one's by Dr. Barry Chant, and he talks about the uniqueness of Christ and looks at the different parts of who Jesus is. It's a really great plan. I encourage you to get on that. And this week, to spend lots of time reading the Gospels and get to the Passover and Jesus' final week. And there's so much that he did in that final week. And as you read it, you will see sacrifice where Jesus gave his life for us. You will see God's kindness and God's mercy. You will see his compassion. You will see his love. You will see death for sin, but also resurrection and life. And friends, that is our motivator in order to love people, to serve people we love, because he first loved us. In Romans chapter 12, it says, in view of God's mercy, in view of all that God's done, offer yourself. All we do as Christians need to come from that place of what God has been so kind to us. And my response is to live a life that blesses others and honors him. This year, our theme has been, what's our theme? Multiply is our theme. There's a picture there of that. Multiply. And we've been talking about how it's God's design and God's desire that his church multiplies across the earth. We've seen from the day of Pentecost to now some 83% compound growth year on year on year, from 120 to over 2 billion people today have committed their lives to Jesus and say they serve him. And God has not stopped yet. He's still going. He's still growing his church. He's still empowering. He's still multiplying. And he invites you and he invites me to play our part in what he's doing. We choose to do that because of what God has done for us. He loved us, so we want to love others. He's invested in me, so I want to invest in others. It's this decision discipleship picture that I've shown you over the last few weeks, where as we share what God has done, people will taste and see that the Lord is good, and hopefully they will receive Jesus for themselves and they'll make a decision for Jesus. But they're not called to stay there, because we as a church are called to invest in them, to love them, to serve them, to teach them to pray, to teach them how to read and how to read the word. And they go from a decision for Jesus to become a disciple of Jesus, and disciples bear fruit, like in the parable of the sower, 30, 60, 100 times that which was sown. And as we bear fruit, as we share love, as we encourage, as we share testimony in life, people will taste and see that the Lord is good. They'll want the Lord for themselves, and they'll make a decision for Jesus. But they don't stay there because we love them, invest in them, and they go from decision to a disciple who bears fruit. And this is the pattern of multiplication. We're part of this because of what God has done for us. That's our why. We love because he first loved us. Amen? Amen? On Vision Sunday, we talked about oranges a whole heap. And I have an orange update for you. We have a competition happening in our church. Who knows what the competition is? Grow an orange tree. So, now this is Annette Riley, 1, 2, third row in the black and white stripes. Like a criminal outfit, actually, black and white stripes. This is Annette's starting place. She had the seed, put it in the paper, and then it grew to the seedling. Then she planted it, I think, 4 times, because now, wow. Wow, who else is growing orange trees? Just Annette. And Con and Rachel, and there's Gay at our 9 o'clock service as well. And the plan is that the first week in December, you take a picture, and the person with the biggest orange tree wins the prize. And last time... No. You got to get the right type of orange, obviously. But well done. Have you started? Have you got your seed? Well, there's still time. Get manure and put it in. Now, what we said was 2 weeks ago, the person with the biggest plant gets a prize. And what's the prize again? A date with Xavier. Where is he? There he is. Date with Xavier. That's the prize. And maybe Savannah might have a problem with that. But we'll come up with a really good prize, I'm sure, that we can. I said that at 9 o'clock and Nikki Freeman went, woohoo! And I was like, Nikki, he's such a young man. I don't know if that's appropriate. You're awesome. Awesome. All right, back on track, everyone. Back on track. So I've given you the why of multiply, yeah? Now today, I want to speak to you about the how. How do we do this? We know God wants us to do it. He invites us to play our part in what he's doing. We do it because of all that he's done for us. It's our response. But how do we go about it? And that's what I want to look at today. I want to look at 5 principles about multiplying from Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, in that text, we have the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. And this is a super important passage. Why is it important? Well, number one, it's in all 4 Gospels. The birth of Jesus is only in 2. But feeding the 5,000 got in 4. That's interesting, isn't it? And as you read this text, you see lots of great things. We see Jesus' character. We see the things that he taught about the kingdom of God. We see his ability to heal and set people free. And we also see his ability to multiply bread and fish. Great things. But there's also some hidden things in the text that I spoke about with our night service a few weeks ago. 3 things. Number one, what's hidden in the text. The first thing is, as Jesus lifts up the bread and gets bread from heaven, it points back to Exodus chapter 16, when the Israelites were wandering the desert and Moses got bread from heaven. So Jesus is saying by that act, I'm like the prophet Moses who got bread from heaven. The second thing we see, and it's hidden, is that in Isaiah chapter 40, a prophecy about the Messiah is that he would be a shepherd who feeds his people. Second thing about the text. The third thing about the text, if you go to John's Gospel from John chapter 6, we have the parable, not the parable, you have the feeding of the 5,000, then you have the next day, Jesus walks on water overnight, and then the people come to Jesus again. And Jesus says, they've come to me because I fed them. And then Jesus makes the connection between him and Moses. But then he goes a step further and says, I am the bread of life. One of the seven I am statements that Jesus makes in John that declares that Jesus is God. So as we read Bible texts and Bible passages, there's lots of stuff we can see on the surface. But sometimes we need to dig a bit deeper to see there's other things that Jesus is saying by what he does. And we need to get some Bible commentary or study Bible to help us understand what's going on in the text. So let's now read it, and then I'll give you the five things around five principles to multiply. How are we going? Is everyone good? Luke chapter 9, verse 10. This is what it says. When the apostles returned, pause for a minute. What are they returning from? Well, just before this, Jesus sent them out to preach the message of Jesus, to heal the sick. And they've returned, and then it says, they reported to Jesus what they'd done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. Now, that's a town at the top of the Sea of Galilee. But the reason Jesus was withdrawing, another gospel says, I think it's Matthew's gospel says, Jesus has just found out that his cousin John the Baptist has died, and he's no doubt withdrawing in order so he can mourn. But, verse 11, the crowds learned about it and they followed him. No time to mourn now, Jesus. So he welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Now, this is called the feeding of the 5,000, but for me, that's a pretty awesome verse. Jesus taught them about the kingdom of God and he healed everyone who needed healing. If you're there on that day and you needed healing, you had a pretty good day. And in some ways, that's enough. But there's more to the story. Late in the afternoon, the 12 disciples came to him and said, send the crowd away so that they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging because we are in a remote place. Jesus replied, you give them something to eat. But they answered, we have only, three powerful words, we have only five loaves of bread and two fish, unless we go and buy food for all this crowd. About 5,000 men were there, plus women and children. But he said to his disciples, have them sit down in groups of about 50. And the disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Now, we just read that, and we've read it before, and we skip over. But let's put ourselves in that moment for a time. There's 5,000 men, plus women and children. And Jesus speaks to his 12 and says, put them in groups of 50. There's no PA system. There's no marking off of areas. The disciples say, I want you to get in groups of 50. Right, one, two, we are too many, you're out of our group. We need 12 more. And it just would have been chaos, right? Chaos. And how long would it have taken to get like 10,000 people in groups of 50? That might have taken an hour, right? And we need to think about these things that's going on in the text, right? And then it says, taking the loaves and the two fish and looking up to heaven, Jesus gave thanks, broke them, then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over. That's extraordinary. Now, 12 basketfuls, if you get five loaves of bread and break it up, I don't think you're going to get 12 basketfuls full of bread, right? You're not going to get that much. There was more at the end than there was at the beginning, left over. That's pretty cool. Crazy. So what I want us to do is now look at five principles to multiply. I started this message, and we've talked about it already this year, around why should we multiply? Why should we share what we got with others? Why should we invest? Is because God has loved us, God has served us, God has invested in us. That's our foundation. Now this is the how. How do we go about reaching people with the message of Jesus? What should we look for? How do we multiply? Well, here's the first thing. Five things. Number one, look for where Jesus is already working. As you go about your life and as you interact with people who don't know him, look for where Jesus is already working. In this text, we have Jesus teaching about the kingdom and healing. Jesus is already working. Then comes the miracle of feeding with a small amount of fish and bread. Jesus was already working. And my encouragement for you today is, as you meet with people, your family and friends in the workplace, look for where Jesus is already working. There's this, one of the churches in Australia, in the last couple of years, have come up with this discipleship plan. And one of the things they speak about is the person of peace from Luke chapter 10. When Jesus sends out the 72, he says, as you go, look for people of peace in towns. And this is how this Baptist church pastor describes people of peace. People who like you, people who listen to you, and people who serve you. And I went, wow, that's awesome. People of peace, people who like you, people who listen to you, and people you serve, who serve you. And I just want to suggest that maybe God's already working in their life, ready for you to share Jesus with them. You know, many churches look for the next new program or the next new thing, and that's good to do that, but we need to ask the question, what's Jesus doing right now? And one of the things Jesus uses in our church is foundations. Foundations is a discipleship tool that Jesus is using. Here's a question for you. Where is Jesus already working in your life and in the lives of those around you? Where is Jesus already working? I'm going to ask you five questions today. You might want to write these questions down and take a photo because they're things to process throughout the week. Where is Jesus already working? And as you identify people, they're the people God wants you to invite to our Easter Good Friday service and Easter Sunday service. I had that this week. Well, last week we had our Saturday prayer meeting and we prayed for 238, was it? Individuals, people who didn't know Jesus. And I prayed for some people in my street and I said, God, give me an opportunity. And this week I said, I don't want to knock on their door. That's a bit weird. I don't see them that much. I pray I'll see them on the street. I'll be out the front when they drive up and I'll be able to invite them to our Easter Sunday service. And I was talking to Josh Thompson, who's away for the weekend, and guess who drives up? Josh, I have an appointment. I've got to go. So I went and said, hey, Jody, she's watching online. Jody, I'd love to invite you and your family to our Easter Sunday service. She goes, oh, I'm busy on Friday, but let me see about Sunday. Thank you, Lord. I'll remind them again this week. Why did I invite her? Well, a number of years ago, I did Alpha in my street, and she came once to Alpha and added to the discussion. And she's kind, and she's friendly. And when I put on a Christmas event in my house, she always comes and brings food and helps out. She's a person of peace. I'm believing that God is working in her life, and this Easter will be her Easter. Where is Jesus already working? That's number one. Number two, how do we multiply? Second principle, look for the needs of people. Look for the needs of people. Jesus had been teaching and healing, and then the disciples work out, hey, we have a problem here. It's getting late and there's not enough food. What are the needs that you can see around you? You know, when Jesus walked the planet, he always targeted people who were broken and hurting and left out of their community. He made time for them. Jesus is passionate as a shepherd, looking for people to shepherd because he loves people. And sometimes it's in difficulty in life God uses to draw people to himself. Sometimes people ask the question, is there more to life than this? Or They're looking for answers due to a certain situation. Or maybe they're going through difficulty in life. And God can use these situations to draw people to himself. Second question. So what needs are you seeing in people? First question, where's Jesus already moving? Second question, what needs are you seeing in people? Those you work with, those in your street, those who are your neighbors, friends. What needs are you seeing in people? Third point, bring the needs to Jesus. And then I put the word mostly. We'll get on to the mostly second. Bring the needs to Jesus. What did the disciples do? Jesus, there's not enough food, send them away. Now they got the send them away wrong. But the thing they did right was they brought the need to Jesus. They need food. And just like they spoke to Jesus, we have the opportunity and privilege to pray for people who need him. To go, God, this person, they need you. They're struggling in this area of life. I pray that you would lift the veil off their eyes, you'll open up their hearts so that they will receive Jesus for themselves. And when we pray, we are asking the star breather, creator of the universe, the one who sustains everything, to move in their life. And he is the healer, the comforter, the one who brings joy, the one who brings peace. He is the savior of the world. Who else should we bring them to? We need to be people of prayer. And then I've put mostly. Why did I put mostly? Because in this text, when the disciples came to Jesus and said, Jesus sent them away, there's not enough food, Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And sometimes we don't need to pray. If there's a need, meet it. If someone falls over, you don't need to pray, God, should I help stand them up? No, help them. Now there's times to pray, obviously. Should I support this mission organization? How should I care for this person? Definitely pray. But sometimes God just says, get on and do it. And you know what? The Bible describes me and you as Jesus' hands and his feet on this planet. We are the body of Christ. We are his ambassadors. We have been sent with a mandate to bring salt and light to the world around us. Let's use what we got to serve others. So two questions here. Number one, 3A and 3B. Who are you praying for? Who are the people that you're bringing to Jesus? And part B to this is, what need does Jesus want you to meet? What have you got? What's in your hands? Who does he want you to give it to? 3A, who are you praying for? 3B, what need does Jesus want you to meet? 3. Number 4, bring what you have to Jesus. Jesus says, you give them something to eat. And the disciples respond in verse 13 like this. And they say, they answered, we have only 5 bread and 2 fish. They looked at what they had and said, this is so insignificant compared to the need. But Jesus takes what we think is insignificant and he multiplies it and does miracles. Don't think what God has put in you is insignificant or not good enough. Don't compare it with this preacher or this preacher. Don't compare it with this, how much money this person's got. That person's got more money than me. I've only got a little bit. What could I possibly do? Don't think that person's a better listener or a better encourager than me. And you don't use what you got because you compare yourself with others. No, God takes what he's put in you. And as you offer it to others, he multiplies it and does miracles. Bring what you have to Jesus and see what he does. Question 4, what have you got to bring to Jesus? Gifts, passions, encouragement, the ability to listen, the ability to teach, the ability to lead, the ability to share your faith. What have you got? Bring it to Jesus and allow him to multiply it. Last one for today. Watch what he does, which I think is my favorite bit. You know, as the disciples distributed the food, and then as they were, we're not exactly sure how this happened. It must have been, I think, as they were giving it out, more was replaced. Because I reckon if Jesus lifted it up and then all the bread and fish fell, and there would have been like a massive, like, mountain, and then they'd have to take it. I don't think it happened that way. I think that as they gave it out, Jesus refilled the basket, I think. But we're not there. We don't know, do we? We can guess. But imagine you got a basket and you go, oh dear, we're in trouble here. How far is this going to go? And I give some to Rick, and I give some to Con, and then Michelle, and then my wife likes a lot of bread. She's going to take a big handful. Oh dear, you took too much. Got the next person to feed. And then Jesus refills it. You go, wow, look at that. And then at the end, they fed all these people, and the basket is still full. How would you feed the widow's oil? I heard a story once, Jackie Pullinger. Anyone know Jackie Pullinger? She was a missionary to the World City in China. And she told a story once. She was feeding all these kids in the city, and they had a certain number of presents, and the line was way, way, way too long. And she said, Jesus, we need a multiplication. And she told the story where she kept pulling presents out of the bag, and guess what? There was the exact amount needed. Wow. I was like, whoa. Watch what he does and be amazed. Imagine those disciples with the bread and the baskets. They're like, Jesus, how did you do that? They would have been blown away. You know, and as God uses what he's put in our hands, we can see what God does with it and go, wow, God, that's amazing. You use me to bless that person. You use me to encourage that person. When I wrote Foundations, this little book, and lots of people have become Christians by going through this. You use me. Wow, God. This little scrawny kid from East Hills Boys High School. Not the smartest, definitely not the tallest, not good at sport, not the most popular. I tried out for school captain, I didn't get it. And God, oh, everyone went, thank you. But he chose to use me to lead one of the churches in this area. What a privilege. Wow. You know, at the end of last year, one of my favorite things to do is to go with the young people to Youth Alive. Oh, I love Youth Alive. So Christy, who's our brilliant youth pastor, organized 40 people to go to Youth Alive. Can I drive? Can I drive? I want to drive. And we're sitting in the auditorium and the message is preached. And often they said, come forward if you want to commit your life to Jesus. And all 40 of our people, leaders and their kids, all went, and leaders supported kids as they went and responded, and friends supported others as they responded to Jesus. And at that, I just start to weep and weep. I weep when I see people commit their lives to Jesus. Wow, God, look at what you're doing. And when we say yes, when we partner with him, when we use what he's given us and use it with others, we get to see how he takes it and multiplies it and uses it. Wow, God, look what you did. You are amazing. Last question. What are you seeing Jesus do right now? Where are you seeing him transform lives? Stand back and go, wow, God, that's amazing. I started this message by talking about the why we do it. We love because he first loved us. We serve because he served us. We invest in others because he invested in us. And then we spent the rest of the time talking about the how. And I've given you five things. Here they are again. Number one, look for where Jesus is already working. Number two, look for the needs of people. Bring the needs to Jesus mostly. Bring what you have to Jesus. And finally, watch what he does. I'm going to give you 10 seconds to reflect on these five things. I'm going to ask you, which one of these things stood out to you the most from this message? And then I want you to hold up, if it's the first one, second one, third one, fourth one, fifth. Take 10 seconds, then I'll ask you to put your fingers up. Which one stood out to you the most? Which finger? Two, five, two, four, two, two. Five, 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 three, five, five. Lots of fours. One, four, five, five, two. Marcelo, what was yours? Four, two, one, four, five, five. Awesome. Awesome. I pray that this message today inspires you, reminding you of the why, but also giving you some tools about how. What we have is the greatest thing ever. This Easter we remember, and every Easter we remember, that God, out of his kindness, chose to pursue mankind. Before the creation of the world, it was decided that Jesus would die for our sin. And then from creation, we see God's story and plan unfold. And 2,000 years ago, we have the pinnacle. And we look back 2,000 years at the pinnacle. Look back at what Jesus has done. We look at today to see what he's doing. And we look again, look ahead to what he's going to do and him coming again to judge the living and the dead. And we will live with him forever. Let's stand together. We're going to pray. Then we'll close. Father, our why is you. You loved me. You loved each person in this place. That you gave Jesus for us. That we will be forgiven, that we will be set free, that your wrath would be appeased, that you would give us a new identity, that we would live with you forever, that we would be your salt and light on this earth. You loved us. And our response, God, is to love you and love others. Father, we pray that we'll be people who look where you're working. Help us to see, give us eyes to see where you're already working. God, help us to see the needs of people. May we be deliberate in prayer, bringing people to Jesus. May we see needs and use what we got to invest in them. Father, that we would take, that we would use what you've put in us and we'll offer it to you for the miracle of multiplication. And finally, we will stand in awe and worship you and celebrate our God who has done all these things.
Thanks so much for checking out this message. Lifegate Church has people meeting in person and online in many different locations, and we'd love to help you get connected. My name's Andrew and I lead our online team here at Lifegate Church, and it's our job to do exactly that. We'd love to help you find community, get support and prayer, and take your next step. So why don't you connect with us and take your next step at lifegate.org.au and click the next step button.